Previously on Algoa FM Breakfast.
Thursday.
It's Thursday and we did say it's the weekend and then we were corrected. People saying, no, technically it's in fact not the weekend. It is the weekend because tomorrow is the start of, you know, of the public holidays. So yes, it is in fact the start of your weekend today. But while the rest of us are holidaying, there are people who are still very, very hard at work. And so that being said, we regularly have a chat with the Nelson Mandela Business Chamber. We actually don't have a proper name for the regular segment. We're working on it. And the name changes very often as we are testing things out. But for the purposes of today, let's call it the Business Brief. How does that sound, Denise?
We can work with that.
Work with that. The Business Brief. And you know, what really matters, I mean, you know, either way, whatever we call it, this is where we unpack the issues that really matter for residents, for ratepayers, for local business alike, industry and so on. And today is certainly no different. Today we're turning our attention to the infrastructure management crisis facing Nelson Mandela Bay. Now, this is something that's been affecting all of us, from water issues to broader service delivery, and it's starting to have a real impact on how communities live and how businesses operate within the metro. So this morning, we're unpacking what's really going on and also looking at what's being done about it. We're joined by Uputzukile Madikane. Okay, so you're happy with me saying booty. We're joined by Uputzukile Madikane. He's the spokesperson for the Nelson Mandela Bay Civil Society Coalition. And of course, Denise Van Hastien, CEO of the Nelson Mandela Bay Business Chamber. Good morning, folk. Thank you so much for joining us on Algoa FM Breakfast.
Good morning. Good morning to your listeners too.
Good morning.
Denise, let's start with you. So the Chamber is one of the participants in the NMB Civil Society Coalition, and you guys recently signed a social compact with the various constituencies who form part of this. Why was it necessary for organized business, or why is it necessary for organized business to work together with the Civil Society Coalition?
It's very important that we have a vibrant civil society. If you go back to the period during apartheid, the important role that civil society organizations played towards our transition to a new South Africa. And I think we're now at another point. It's almost like another tipping point where we need a vibrant civil society. And what we've done as organized business, we've partnered for some time now with the civil society movement, where you've got your churches, your NGOs, your youth, your elderly, trade unions. Everybody's part of that coalition. And we all have a common priority, and that's we want the Bay to be working again. We want services to be delivered to communities, to businesses. So the whole of society approach is quite vital, I think, when you're talking about these kind of issues. And we can't leave communities behind as we as business move forward.
And how, Denise, how are you working with the Civil Society Coalition on infrastructure management crisis at this very point? Because we are faced with many issues, one being the one that we're discussing off air at the moment, and that is large parts of very important parts of Nelson Mandela Bay still without electricity due to the pylon collapsing.
Yeah, so when we signed our social compact earlier this year, one of the things we did is we launched a service delivery scorecard where we ranked and we prioritized all the issues that affect the Bay and where we think the highest impact can be achieved to get the Bay working again. And I'm afraid to say every single item was ranked red, but that's something that we're pushing in terms of what needs to happen. And what we've also been doing as a collective, we've been meeting with the Minister of Kochte, with National Treasury, we engage with the city leadership. So we're applying pressure on all fronts. And I think one of the other key outcomes in terms of the infrastructure management crisis is we've established a technical task team where we have the civil society components that are part of it, and we're engaging directly with the municipality to get the key root causes of these infrastructure issues addressed. But it really is an infrastructure management crisis because the root, when you look at the root causes of the issues, it's lack of proactive maintenance, it's lack of ongoing maintenance and investment in the infrastructure.
You've been very vocal about this. I've noticed that on social media and the Business Chamber coming out quite strong, saying that the drought alone is not the cause of our water issues in the metro. What are you basing that very strong statement on?
Yeah, I think it's important that we look at facts when we talk about these things. And when you look at the water situation, 63% of our water represents unaccounted water losses.
It just sounds like it gets higher and higher.
And we're the highest water losing metro in the country. And when you look at the previous water management crisis that we had, those losses, I think, were around 42%. So what has happened between then and now that it's now escalated to 63%, so that's the one issue. And then our overall dam...
What was the period of time of that escalation?
So when we had the last water management crisis, it was around 2021 when I joined the chamber. And that's when I realized that this
isn't... So about 5 years.
Yeah, that it wasn't a drought. This is a water management crisis.
Yeah.
And I think water scarcity is an issue. The overall dam levels have reduced to just over 30% in terms of usable water, which is a very serious situation, but you don't see the seriousness when you walk around the bay and you go to shopping centres and places like that, because people are just carrying on as normal. But we need these root causes addressed if we want to rein the situation in.
I mean, you make an interesting statement there that, you know, you observe that it's in fact not a drought but a water management issue, and it speaks to infrastructure. And Putzugile, I'm going to bring you in here. How do you see the infrastructure shortcomings affecting communities? How are communities affected?
Thank you, Lee. It's evident if you drive anywhere around the township, sewage spillage all over the place, water leaking all over the place, traffic lights and lights not working. Mm. So all this infrastructure affect the poor people the most, because it takes ages for sewage leakages to be fixed. For instance, we've got people sewage spilling in their homes. You know, people are actually literally staying with sewage around them. You know, that's how bad is the infrastructure in. Water, you've got to still have people who must wait for water trucks to receive water, because the pumps are dry or the pumps are not maintained, they are just gushing out. And all this thing, we characterize it as a violation of human rights and constitutional rights. So the community or the residents' rights are being violated by the municipality.
Yeah, I'm just thinking as you're talking, it also then becomes, you know, a health issue. And then if you drill even deeper, it becomes a dignity issue. It goes quite deep.
It is. I mean, if you go around, say, for instance, you go around Embilweni Clinic, people to get into the clinic, they must go through, drive their wheelchairs over a sewage, just out, it's literally outside a clinic, you know. So with kids playing around and there's waste dumps that are not... cleaned, and the sewage that is not fixed. So the health of the elderly people, the kids, so it is a dignity issue. People's dignity, people's rights are being violated daily. So it's now an emergency. It's not normal.
You mentioned all of these issues and the emergency. What are you doing to get urgency around action of this infrastructure crisis that we faced with right now?
Yes, we have characterized it as an emergency, and we have called. We've written to the president and the president's office that we need the president, the highest office in this country, to actually take what is happening in Nelson Mandela Bay as a crisis. So that is one, that political leadership in the country must act, because It's their constitutional duty. We're not asking for a favor.
Mm.
It's their constitutional duty that the president must do what he has done, for instance, in eThekwini and in Johannesburg, appointing presidential working groups, people who can come and assist this municipality to put the infrastructure, because we are calling for a presidential working group on infrastructure in this city, nothing else.
Certainly not doing us a favor. I love that. It is the constitutional duty. And, you know, you mention having written to the president, you mention, you know, politicians being accountable and so on. How can those, or how do you foresee those who are responsible for maintaining the infrastructure being held accountable? How does the civil society scorecard then play a role in this process?
Yes. Firstly, we need a vibrant and a strong civil society, civic movement, because it's our civic duty as residents, as communities, to always be in a lookout and call for accountability from the politicians. So that is one. We must organize the people. We call on everyone, all the other formations, to actually join the movement, because if we are not united as residents, politicians will play games with the people. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Denise, I mean, we're now out of time, but just to wrap it up, you know, you mentioned a common purpose initially, and it does feel like in all the frustration, there has been almost like a kind of unity, you know, where different groups, you know, are working towards the same goal, that of getting the Bay to work again, right? Do you think that this, throughout all these challenges, we can still remain positive about the Bay?
Yes, I think people are our greatest asset. And when I look at the unity of purpose and the way we work together as a civil society movement, I think we're very united. And it's actually quite special what we have here in the Bay versus elsewhere in the country. You know, and I think we need to build on that, and we need to keep the pressure coming. This is the most fixable metro in the country, and we have no doubt that it, if the right things start to happen, we can very quickly rein in these issues and get the infrastructure restored back to where it needs to be, because the metro isn't as big as a Johannesburg, which would be much more challenging to rein back in. And the other thing we also need to look at, when you look at the potential that we have, our natural assets, our beautiful coastlines and game reserves and so on, we could be an alternative to Cape Town. And we've had businesses that have actually approached us where, because of the congestion in Cape Town, because of the high cost of living there, this is a very good alternative for them. But obviously, to attract them, yeah, we need the infrastructure to work. We need the basics to work. So the potential is there. So we mustn't give up, and we all need to unite and work together to unlock that.
Okay. We're going to have to leave it there, but an important conversation, a clearly one that's far from over, but we are going to keep the conversation going right here on the Business Brief.
Dun, dun, dun.
Our big thanks to Uphuzukile Madikane from the Nelson Mandela Bay Civil Society Coalition, and of course Denise Van Hastien, CEO of the Nelson Mandela Bay Business Chamber. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Algoa FM Breakfast is the business.